In an MS Now interview right now with Major General Randy Manner, retired, he is saying that through secondhand sources, he's learned that military officials have refused to obey certain requests from Hegseth. I wonder what... This is might be the dumbest Medi tweet I've read so far. Oh no. It's astonishing that you, a world leader, who many respected for standing up to an illegal attack on your country, now support an illegal attack on another country. It completely kills your credibility. Right now, Iran is Ukraine. You may not like to hear that, but that is a fact. Holy shit. DOJ press conference. Ukraine was illegally attacked. Iran was illegally attacked. Or do you support Trump's illegal war in Iran?
President Trump has made no secret of the fact that he wants to see his perceived political enemies prosecuted. So now that you're in this position, how are you going to balance that relentless pressure with this administration's promise to end the weaponization of this department?
Good question.
Well, look, first of all, we have thousands of ongoing investigations and prosecutions going on in this country right now. And it is true that some of them involve men, women, and entities that the president in the past has had issues with and that believe should be investigated. That is his right, and indeed it is his duty to do that, meaning to lead this country. And so I do not view this as pressure. I do not view this as something that is going to keep me up at night, except to make sure that we are investigating every case that we have to the fullest extent of the law and using all the resources we can. And when we talk about, when you talk about weaponization, and it's become a word that is supposedly that when we talk about ending weaponization, as if that's a bad thing for us to do. Okay, people in this room, people in this room for 4 years, some of you, same people, sat here with the last administration when you saw a weaponization of this department, the likes of which had never been seen in history. And some of you are looking down now, and I get it, because you had a president who was indicted 4 times by this department. You had a president who along with this department, had assistance. So this department helped 2 other local DAs go after the president. You had this department who stood idly by while states tried to keep President Trump off the ballot.
What is the president supposed to do for that? That went to the Supreme Court. Okay.
That's what happened the past 4 years.
Good one. Good one, Chief.
And so when I'm asked questions or when I see reporting about shock and awe at this supposed weaponization of this Department of Justice, it means nothing to me because it's completely false. What we're doing and what we've been doing for the past 14 months is changing this department. We're no longer, people say the president wants to go after his political enemies. No, the president has said time and time again that he wants justice. And if you look at what happened to him, his family, his administration, the agents that protected him, people that happened or just walked by him on a given day, they got subjected to massive investigations by this department. So I understand the question, and I understand the pretty constant role of the media that somehow this department is weaponizing itself, but it happens not to be true. We have tens of thousands of prosecutors all over this country putting bad guys in jail.
You've also got historic amounts of prosecutors that have literally quit because they were so disgusted with the fake indictments you were trying to push through. You've also had historic issues trying to even secure indictments for some of your charges. And you've had Lindsey Halligan literally had to be removed 50 million fucking times because you try to keep people on because you can't even appoint new prosecutors correctly.
That's something that wasn't happening like it should have been happening for the past 4 years. That's going to happen tomorrow, and it's going to happen in the coming days.
Did I miss this question or did I miss him speak about this? He's acting like the DOJ has been doing an amazing job. He just fired the attorney general. What are you going to do differently? What was wrong with Pam Bondi? Like, what happened?
She lost her job, though, because she was not successful.
Oh, okay. Good question. Thank you. That was a follow-up. Good.
And it's going to happen in the coming days.
She lost her job, though, because she was not successful in that pursuit.
You read the same exact communication from the president that I did. Pam Bondi is a trusted friend of President Trump's, will remain so. Mm-hmm. And no, nobody has any idea why the attorney general is no longer the attorney general and I'm the acting attorney general except for President Trump.
Shouldn't we maybe know that, though? Kind of, maybe. Isn't that kind of important? Like, don't we appoint new people based on the advice and consent of the Senate, which implies there's some kind of public check on that? So should we know why the last one was fired? Maybe? No? Maybe?
Two questions. One, kind of housekeeping. Since you are announced as the acting attorney general today, when is Pam Bondi's last day on the job? And is this a position that you would like full time?
So there's a bunch of questions there. So I am the acting attorney general. As far as Pam Bondi's last day on the job, I'm the acting attorney general. I'm going with her.
Say one more time.
Together.
One more time.
To a pre-scheduled event.
One more time.
So she'll be with me tomorrow.
What is he again, guys?
We've been regularly communicating over over the past several days for an appropriate transition. She is very much a big supporter of this department, like she was last Thursday morning. She remains the same, and I expect that will continue. As to whether or not I want this job, I did not ask for this job. I love working for President Trump. It's the greatest honor of a lifetime. And if President Trump chooses to keep me as acting, that's an honor. If he chooses to nominate me, that's an honor. If he chooses to nominate somebody else and I go back to being the DAG, that's an honor. If he chooses to nominate somebody else and asks me to go do something else, I will say, thank you very much. I love you, sir. So I don't have any goals or aspirations.
I love you. Does every cabinet level official end the conversation with Trump with "I love you"? What the fuck,
bruh?
One on the weaponization. Where does the weaponization working group's work stand? Will there be reports coming out of that? Just give us a general update on that. And then, secondly, I just have a question on
fraud. So the work is ongoing and has been ongoing for 14 months now. There's been a lot of results already from that work, if not in written work product. I expect you will see written work product on some parts of the work that's been
occurring. 14 months it's been going on. What do we have to show for? Or what are we doing? Or what the fuck are we talking about?
Accomplished very, very soon.
Criminal investigations further?
I'm not going to talk about criminal investigation, what's driving it or not driving it. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Because I thought this was like the Department of Justice, and kind of the goal was like to get some, you know, criminal stuff going. But, you know, maybe they're working on other things, I guess, maybe? You know, non-criminal stuff?
You said earlier that this Department of Justice has indicted the President Trump 4 times. Can you explain...
No.
What you base that statement on?
Because no.
Obviously you now run this department. Are you basing that on your experience as a defense lawyer for the president, or are you basing that on
What you wrote. What is that? What kind of question is that? He got indicted 4 times. He got indicted in Florida, and then he got indicted in D.C., and then they superseded in Florida, and then they superseded in D.C. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's not, am I breaking news there, that he got indicted 4 times by the feds? This department indicted him 4 times. Go ahead.
He was asking, it was kind of a bad question. Well, I mean, like, it's obvious what the guy was actually asking. It was like, the implication is that the indictments were bullshit. Like, that's what he was obviously implying, but...
Now former Attorney General Bonney was facing...
Is this the new speaker? No, this is the new... He's the current temporary Attorney General.
Will comply with that, or will this administration, will the Justice Department invoke some sort of privilege to block her from testifying?
So, as everybody knows, the Attorney General and I went to the House Oversight a few weeks ago. We answered every single question asked for a couple hours. What happens now that... She's the former Attorney General, and there's the subpoena out there. Is I think I'll leave to Chairman Comer and others to figure out. I don't have an answer to that.
You won't be invoking a privilege or anything.
Excuse me?
You won't invoke any kind of privilege to block.
I definitely did not say that. I said I will leave it to Chairman Comer to work out with others. I just don't have an answer for you. But I'm not committing to anything. I'm just saying. I don't know.
You know that one of the reasons why this administration is so kooky, you can never ask any of these people, what are your plans? What are you going to do? What's going on? Because one, a lot of them are like retarded, so they don't actually know what they can do. But then two, they don't want to commit to any future things because they have no idea what they're going to do. And they know they can't make any promises, right? You can never ask for any kind of like, you know, what can we expect in 6 months or what's going to happen? Because all of this is like just whatever the fuck Trump desires from one day to the next. And there's no guarantee they can even deliver on those things. It's just so stupid.
You said the other day that no prosecutor is left at the Justice Department who worked on those investigations of President Trump, and you said that Kash Patel had cleaned house at the FBI. Those comments have already been cited in 2 lawsuits against the department. How do you respond to critics who say that was an acknowledgement that you guys were firing people for political reasons, career civil servants, politically for illegal reasons?
It's not that. I mean, it's not that. It's much more simple than that. I mean, look, if you were a prosecutor and you were trying to prosecute your boss, you have ethical duties as a lawyer that I think prevent you from continuing to work in that environment. In this case, what we saw and what, look, if you were a prosecutor.
Wait.
It's left at the Justice Department.
For you, but I'm not committing to anything. I'm just saying I don't know. Go ahead.
You said the other day that no prosecutor is left at the Justice Department who worked on those investigations of President Trump, and you said that Kash Patel had cleaned house at the FBI. Those comments have already been cited in 2 lawsuits against the department. How do you respond to critics who say that was an acknowledgement that you guys were firing people for political reasons, career civil servants, politically for illegal reasons?
It's not that. I mean, it's not that. It's much more simple than that. I mean, look, if you were a prosecutor and you were trying to prosecute your boss.
Trump wasn't their boss, though. He was an ordinary citizen. So I don't think that comment makes any fucking sense.
You have ethical duties as a lawyer that I think prevent you from continuing to work in that environment. In this case, what we saw and what President Trump went through, every single prosecutor in this department, whether you're an AUSA or working here, you have a duty to do the right thing. And so in cases where this is beyond this press conference, but I'm happy to talk about it another time, where you had prosecutors that were absolutely not doing the right thing, okay? And so none of those prosecutors, I hope everybody agrees that they shouldn't work here if you're not doing the right thing. And, and that's what I meant by that. And, you know, listen, it's been talked about a lot, but what happened the last 4 years is something that will never happen again.
What a competent government.
The president yesterday said he was prepared to jail a reporter over who, as they search for a leaker behind reports about the downed Air Force officer. Is there an ongoing leak investigation?
Can't comment.
I mean, I can say it as many times as folks ask. I will never comment on ongoing investigations. I think that...
Do you condemn Kash Patel then when he commented on ongoing FBI investigations, like when he did related to the shooting of Charlie Kirk or the one guy who shot the illegals in the car?
I just wanted to follow up on Perry's question. She had asked about who this division reports to, and I know you said it's a standard practice, but when it comes to referrals... Will the White House or the task force that's being led by Vice President J.D. Vance, will they be making referrals, and will you be taking those up? And I also just had a housekeeping question. It sounds like you're putting in like the healthcare fraud section here. You're taking parts from the former tax division. But what about like the civil components that do fraud investigations, like the False Claims Act? I mean, is that part of this too, or is this all strictly criminal investigation?
It's primarily criminal, but I don't think that we want to limit ourselves as I stand here and announce it today, because I don't want to box anybody into a corner for what makes the most sense to do.
See that language there when he says, I don't want to box anybody into a corner? What he means is that he can't promise or guarantee literally fucking anything. They have no fucking idea what they're going to do for anything.
And so that remains to be seen.
As far as the referrals go, I mean, even if you're not an official, you know, it's not reporting to the White House, but what if the White House or somebody in the White House says, we want you to investigate this state or this program? I mean, how do you handle that? Because historically, as you know, since Watergate, there's been a kind of a firewall, if you will, on criminal investigations between the White House and the Justice Department.
I mean, that is the most false statement I've ever heard in my life. There is always communication between a president and his priorities and what the...
This is so boring. When she says communication, firewall communication, first of all, there are literally a lot of people that you explicitly aren't supposed to communicate with. Like, the president is not supposed to definitionally communicate with people that are deep in the Department of Justice. That's always supposed to go through the DOJ. Like the attorney general or the deputy attorney general, number one. But number two, she's obviously talking more about like directing your DOJ to go and do things and ordering them around and giving them specific instructions, not just your broad policy aims. But
there is always communication between a president and his priorities and what the Department of Justice should be focused on and not focused on. That is not a new thing in this administration, although I know it sounds fun to say that it is. So as far as whether we would take a referral from the White House or take a referral from you even, yes. I mean, yes, if somebody knows about fraud.
But I guess it's you can argue these are good questions and these would be good headlines because it gives you an indication of like improper behavior. But the reality is nobody cares about the improper behavior, right? Because what he's really saying here is, yes, like we will still be taking direct instruction from the president. Yes, we literally will be serving in accordance with whatever his explicit desires and commands are. That is going to happen. Like, that is what he's saying.
There's a lot of reaction to the president's early Truth Social about annihilation, the wiping out of a civilization. There was all kinds of reaction and talk about that. But that forceful positioning may have gotten us to where we are here?
Look, it may have worked. Number one, we don't know who is running Iran. We don't know what they read. We don't know what the Farsi translation is. But anyone in the United States who read the civilization to be destroyed as the whole people of Iran is acting in bad faith, because he said explicitly, we're bringing to an end the 47-year regime, that's the IRGC, and God bless the people of Iran. So
So That's not what civilization means. I'm not sure if you're aware of that or not, but we have words for regimes or administrations or governments, like regime or administration or government. Jack Posobiec and Tim Pool are all tweeting out, Trump won, Trump did it. Are we serious, guys?
No.
Really? This is where we're at right now?
But this isn't over. We still have Cuba, Greenland, and Canada. Just kidding.
Fucking epic. Fucking epic. Oh, my God. Fucking epic. Oh, my God. He's fucking epic. Epic, 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 epic. That was a fucking epic meme. Epic. Asmund Slop. Thank God. Slop me up, baby.
Yeah, I mean, and I think there's been a... Like, this weird, like, so there's been a massive subversion inside of, I think, a lot of right-wing communities, too, where you have a lot of people who are trying to, I think, subvert and cause division by creating a distinction. Like, I think that they've used Israel and the Iran war as flashpoints to create a division inside of a lot of the right-wing communities and right-wing ideology to, you know, assign basically... things that are detrimental to, in my opinion,
Israel-Palestine post on the sub. No, but I'll read it after this.
Separate foreign interests as
we
being
love
pro-
our Israel-Palestine
Israel
posters. Hell yeah!
Hopefully, proactively assign a negative value to them and make people that are right-wing but anti-Israel think that they're siding with America by siding against America's best interests, because those best interests align with Israel's best interests, and it's more important to be against Israel than to be for America. And I think that that subversion has hurt the right-wing movement. I think that it's damaged Trump's presidency. I think it's Trump's fault, by the way, that this happened with the Epstein files. It's completely his fault, but it still happened. And I think that he's walked into that. And people like Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and, you know, even Ian Carroll and Nick Fuentes. Like, if you had an aligned, united front around focusing on big issues, like
how bad the Democrats are,
illegal aliens,
true,
getting rid of their citizenship,
true,
taking citizenship away from people that had it for, you know, kids that were born here, getting rid of the anchor babies, denaturalizing anchor babies. That's the kind of narrative that you should be pushing right now if you're a conservative.
Damn.
If you want to conserve or preserve the identity of America, if you want to preserve the, you know, continuation of, you know, these different social systems, that should be the main thing that you're focused on. You know, lowering H-1B visas, which, to be fair, they did that. Marco Rubio would be deported. Well, I mean, you wouldn't do it for everybody. You'd just do it for a lot of people. You don't have to do it to everybody. And so alliance...
That H-1B visa thing ended up being a fucking disaster, by the way. It ended up being a fucking disaster. We got less qualified people coming into the country. And even though they like 10x'd the cost or whatever, because there were so many fewer coming in, we didn't even make more money off the H-1B visa. So we lost money on it and we lost labor and talent on it. But good memes.
I think that alliance does matter. It does. Do you think Charlie Kirk was killed by
Israel?
3006? Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't. I think that was Charlie Kirk killed by the person that shot that gun? Yeah, I think that's what happened. I think it was just a crazy retard, and I don't think that there's going to be any connection ever made to Israel or any sort of intelligence agency.
Oh,
ever.
Mossad paychecks
and
now, huh?
I think that it's just a hysteria that right-wing people have cooked up in order to continuously keep this upset, you know, paranoia around Israel on.
Trump interview with Artemis Crew.
Reed, Victor, Christina, and Jeremy, it's my honor to introduce the President of the United States of America, President Donald J. Trump. Over to you, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Jared, and you are doing a fantastic job. And hello, very special hello to Artemis II. Today you've made history and made all America really proud, incredibly proud. We have a lot of things to be proud of lately, but this is there's nothing like what you're doing, circling around the moon for the first time in more than a half a century and breaking the all-time record for the farthest distance from planet Earth.
He's reading a script right now, by the way. Funny.
Humans have really never seen anything quite like what
now
you're
he's
doing in a manned spacecraft. It's really special. I want to personally salute and congratulate
now he's back
Commander
to reading.
Reed Weissman, Pilot Victor Glover, Mission Specialist Christina Koch, and Jeremy Hansen. And I also want to thank the entire amazing team at NASA, headed by Jared, who's a very special guy, by the way. And you all made this day possible, and you've really inspired the entire world. Really, everybody's watching. They find it incredible. I just watch you go to the back of the moon, and people haven't been there in a long time, we can say. But it's going to be more and more prevalent because we're going to be doing a lot of traveling.
Well, I thought one of the things with this is that nobody's been there before, or nobody's seen like the, but that can't be the case, is it? I don't remember where I read this. I don't know.
We'll continue to lead the whole thing into the stars, this incredible journey into the stars. So I just wanted, it's an honor to speak to you, and I wanted to congratulate each and every one of you. And tell me, what is the most unforgettable part of this really historic day? The whole world is watching and listening. Please tell me.
President, this call is certainly special to all of us, and we really have a lot of faith.
Wait, what's the latency to the... I have no idea. They're pretty far away, right? That might have been...
President, this call is certainly special to all of us, and we really have a lot of faith in our administrator, Jared Isaacman, who is with you. We appreciate his leadership in NASA and in the international community. We are doing great things, and we are proud to be a part of... I have to tell you, as we came around the near side of the moon, seeing all the sights that we've seen from Earth for all of our lives, but we're seeing them from a different perspective. And then we started to get a glimpse of the, and we saw sights, oriental sights that no human has ever seen before, not even in Apollo. And that was amazing for us. And then the surprise of the day, we just came out of an eclipse where the sun, moon, and the entire dark moon about that big right out the window that we were watching. We could see the corona of the sun, and then we could see the planet train line up, and we at Mars, and all of us commented how excited we are to watch this nation and this planet become a two-planet species.
That is fantastic. You know, I had a decision to make in my first term, and the decision is, what are we going to do at NASA? Are we going to have it be revived, or are we going to...
What do you think of the mic quality? It's funny that you mentioned that. It's actually, they do have to do a lot of work calibrating the voice, because there's a crazy Doppler effect when they're flying away. Like, you know, if somebody's like driving in a car and they shout and they're going really fast, like the sound actually sounds deeper because it's extending the wavelength. When these guys are flying away, imagine how much that's impacting the pitch of the voice. So they have to correct for that when they're doing these long-term communications.
Close it down. And I had very little hesitation. And it's really great to have somebody like Jared involved, because he really made...
How does the sound travel through space to Earth? Well, space is not a perfect vacuum. So technically there is atmosphere. It's just very light. So
makes it much easier for me, but it was not even a question in my own mind. We've spent what we had to do, and then of course we have Space Force, and Space Force is very much related to what you're doing, and that was my baby. That was a very important one, and it'll turn out to be truly one of the most important, I believe, decisions I've ever made. So we're very proud of Space Force, and we're very proud of all of you. Does anybody
How is the microphone floating? That's called phantom power, because that's why it's called phantom power.
Else have anything to say? A lot of people listening.
Mr. President, to be here with you speaking about our incredible day today, I think one of the biggest highlights was coming back from the far side of the moon and having the first glimpses of planet Earth again after being out of communication for about 45 minutes. It really just reminds you what a special place we have and how important it is for our nation to forward, to lead and not follow in exploring deep space.
I'd like to ask, what was your feeling when you had no communication, zero communication? All
did he write these questions himself? I'm sorry.
All of a sudden, it was cut off by obviously your very special location. What was your feeling when you had no communication? A little bit different, perhaps.
Yes, Mr. President, it was. I said a little prayer, but then I had to keep rolling. I was actually recording scientific observations of the far side of the moon. You know, that is actually the time when we were the farthest, and the closest to the moon. And so we were really able to make some of our most detailed observations of the far side of the moon up close. And so
actually, wait, that is a good question. Why would there be no communication areas? They can't repoint or redirect some like of the higher orbit satellites or whatever to do communication relays. Is it just not worth it because they're not really like out of communication range that long, or they need to be really far away? I wonder how far up. I don't know what the angle would have to be, or if it's even remotely possible. I'm not sure. How wide is the Earth? How wide is the Earth from one point to the other? Oh, it's only 8,000 miles. The moon is really far away. Yeah. I don't know how far out a satellite would have to be for them to on both sides of the Earth to be able to hit back there. I don't know how far they would have to be.
We were busy up here working really hard, and I must say it was actually quite nice.
Did you see a big difference between the far side of the moon and the near side of the moon? Was there a difference in feel or difference in look? What did you see?
Well, Mr. President, we certainly did, and our team really set us up well to understand what they thought we might see. And the gravitational pull of the Earth has had a profound effect on the near side of the moon, changing all those dark mares, those dark patches of the moon you see from Earth. It's very different on the far side. While you see some small patches of those mare in deep craters, it's very much absent on that side. So that's really neat. And while I have the microphone, sir, I just want to thank you on behalf of Canada. The space leadership you spoke of from America truly is extraordinary. I've said this many times before. A nation that leads like that and creates and sets big goals for humanity that brings other countries along with it is truly incredible. And I know that's a very intentional, not a necessary decision, intentional decision to lead by example and to allow other countries like Canada to share our gifts and help you achieve these mutually beneficial goals, like establishing a presence on the moon and eventually going to Mars. And Canadians are so proud to be a part of this program.
Well, I have to say I spoke to a very special person, Wayne Gretzky, who I think you know, the great one. And I spoke to your prime minister and many other friends I have in Canada. They are so proud of you. And you have a lot of courage. I'm not sure if they'd want to do that. I'm not even sure if the great one would want to do that, to be honest with you. But you have a lot of courage doing what you're doing, a lot of bravery and a lot of genius. But they're very, very proud of you.
This delay. They would need to position a satellite at the Earth Moon L2 Lagrange point. China already has one there. I don't even know what that means. Hello? What happened? Uh-oh. Another Outlook problem, surely.